there. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek, and you know what? I am really excited about today's show. I'm also excited that you've decided to join me on the program. It's great to be back with you. Hope you had a great week. Now, today on the program, we're going to look at the Mass readings for the third Sunday in Ordinary Time, which, by the way, just to give you somewhat of an idea, we're in that period of time between the Christmas season and Lent. So this year, Lent kicks off on Ash Wednesday, which is March the 5th. So there are eight Sundays in Ordinary Time that we'll be celebrating. Today is the third Sunday. So we're not that far off. You know, I don't want to rush things, but I do want to give you an idea of where we stand in the liturgical year. And also today is it's a special Sunday. Today is the Sunday of the Word of God. Now, in 2019, I think it was September of 2019, Pope Francis instituted this special day as an occasion to look at the importance of God's Word in our lives. And as you, it's the every third Sunday in Ordinary Time is designated the Sunday of the Word of God. Now, if you're going to look at these readings today, you're going to see emphasis on God's Word. And I think this is super cool because so much of the work that I do is grounded in sacred scripture. All of my books have scripture throughout them. This program, what do? We read sacred scripture. Most of the show is scripture. And it's a way, this is a great way for God to communicate with us by reading His Word, by being open to His Word. So that's why it's excellent that we have a Sunday devoted to the importance of God's Word. And, you know, I think I've told you this before. When we hear God's Word, when God speaks to us through sacred scripture, He doesn't just want us to listen to it and say, that's really good. Good point, God. No, He wants us to let it change our lives. So every time we hear scripture spoken, there's sort of a call to action. Sometimes you got to work at figuring out what it is. And that's what I try to come up with on this program, to try to give us all, and I say us because I'm speaking to myself too. You know, when I will do this prayer in a couple minutes, when I ask the Holy Spirit to inspire me and to open all of our hearts, it counts for me as well. Because a lot of times I'll be saying things or I'll be reading the scriptures, and even though I've looked at them before, it'll occur to me, man, I never got that meaning before. So believe me, the Lord is speaking to me, not only through the scriptures, but I know this sounds strange, but He's speaking to me through my own words sometimes. Because there's times when I say something and I didn't intend to say that. Where did that come from? Well, that comes from the answer of the Holy Spirit when in those prayers we pray, and we will pray in just a minute or so, I ask the Holy Spirit to guide my thoughts and my words for this program. So the Word of God is incredibly important to us. Sacred Scripture is incredibly important. Now remember, as Catholics, we believe that the Word of God consists not only God's written Word in Scripture, but also in the teaching of the Church. So when we talk about the Word of God, we talk about Sacred Scripture, but also we speak about the teaching of the Church as handed down originally from the apostles to the various generations. So it's a little bit more than just that Bible you hold in your hand. It's the teaching of the Church. That, to us Catholics, that is God's Word. And let me tell you, that's powerful. That's powerful. We've got a great body of teaching in the Catholic Church. So let me take a sip of my water here. And let's get started. Let's turn to our Heavenly Father in prayer and ask for the help that we need. But before we do that, I just want to recognize that He is present with us. He's watching us right now. He hears us and He sees us. He loves us, and He's bigger than any problem that we could ever face. So with that in mind, I ask you to join me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, you know, it is incredible that we can always count on Your presence, and we can always count on Your attention when we turn to You in prayer. You never tell us that You're too busy. And I want to make sure, Father, that I never take this for granted, the fact that You are always available and always willing to help me. Thank You for that, Father. We give you thanks for creating us. We give you thanks for adopting us as your children. We know that you can see us. We know that you can hear us. We know that you love us. And we know that you are completely in control of our lives, of the entire world, and also of the universe. So thank you very much, Father, for the privilege of having some of your time. We come to you today asking you to lead us, where you would like us to be. Ultimately, we'd like to live with you in heaven, and I know that's what you want as well. So send us down the right path where we can do what we have to do in order to make that possible, and also enable us to help others. Please use us as your instruments to draw other people closer to you. We lift up our own personal needs. We pray for our family and friends and all those who have asked for our prayers. We pray for those around the entire world who are struggling with any number of things. We pray for people who don't know you. We pray for those who have walked away from a relationship with you. We pray for those who are searching for you and may not realize it. We pray for all those souls who may be in danger of losing their salvation. We pray for all who share your gospel message, Father, in a very public way. Writers, speakers, musicians, missionaries. We pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to come down upon us today and open our minds to the scriptures that we are about to hear. And Father, I ask you to help me, to give me the words today that you want me to deliver. I know you have a message for us today. At this point, I have maybe an idea of what it is, but ultimately, I'm going to ask you to redirect my thoughts and my words, if need be, so that I can deliver the message you have for us. Father, I ask all these things in the most holy, the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thank you so much for praying with me. Again, my name is Gary Zimak. We come to you each week for 30 minutes. We look at the particular Mass readings for the Sunday's Mass. I'm grateful to all of the Catholic radio stations around the country who carry this program and broadcast it over the air. I'm grateful for podcast services which make it available. And I'm grateful to you for showing up each week to listen to me and for all of your support, all of your prayers, all of your financial assistance. Everything you do for me, I am so grateful, and I really want you to know that. I feel your presence when I do these programs, and, you know, there would be no program if you weren't here to listen to it, so thank you so much. If you want to find out more about my work, my website is followingthetruth.com. I want to make you aware of something. Remember, we're only a few weeks away from Lent, more or less, and once again this year, you're going to be hearing a lot about my book, Give Up Worry for Lent. We'll talk a little bit about it on this program. If you want to get a copy of the book, you can do so now. Now would be a good time to check it out. You can find it at any online store or service where books are sold, or you can go right to my website, followingthetruth.com, to find out more about the book. And you're going to hear me. I'm speaking. You can check out my website for a list of locations where I'll be speaking during Lent, as well as find out all about the books that I have. And you can also sign up for my daily email reflection, which is called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. All that can be found at followingthetruth.com. You can also find out how to bring me in to speak at your parish or your conference if you go to the website as well. Again, that's followingthetruth.com. Okay, now every week, it seems like, on the program, I seem to say, well, the readings aren't that long today, so we got plenty of time. Well, today I'm not going to say that because I'm not trying to scare you, but the readings were a little bit lengthier today, so I'm going to have a little less time. So with that in mind, I better get right to it as we read these readings. We're going to start off with the gospel, as we always do on the show. Then I'll back up and I think you'll be able to see how the other readings were chosen to support this gospel. Remember, this Sunday is designated as Sunday of the Word of God, where the focus is on God, how he speaks to us through his word, through his written word. So with that in mind, let's just get right to it. Gospel is Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And then there's a little bit of a gap, and we move over to Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. So you'll see this from time to time. It's normally not this significant of a gap, but the church is obviously trying to send a message. And what we'll see sometimes in the Gospels is that certain verses will be omitted in order to make clear the message, right? In this case, we start in Luke 1 and we jump over to Luke 4 so that this message can be better delivered during this Sunday's reading. So let's look at it right now. Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who are eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Now, what the church obviously wanted to do here is give us this passage from the very beginning of Luke's gospel to sort of set the stage. Luke is saying, I'm compiling a written document which details what Jesus said and did. He directs it to Theophilus, which translated means lover of God. But ultimately, the church says, this is directed to us, to you and me. And Luke sets this up by stating that he's compiled a written document containing many of the things that Jesus said and did. All right, back to the gospel. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Now, as an aside here, this is one of the Old Testament readings or books of the Bible, or the Hebrew Scriptures. So at the time of Jesus, the writings in what we call the Old Testament, they existed and were read on the Sabbath in the synagogue. So Jesus comes into the synagogue, stands up to read, and is handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Now listen to what happens next. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And in the eyes of all in the synagogue, looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing," which is, you know, this is kind of amazing what Jesus is doing here. He's got this reading from the prophet Isaiah, this scroll, and he takes it and he reads it. And then he says, this scripture passage talking about Isaiah writing, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free." Jesus essentially said, this is me. Isaiah was talking about me. You and I, we look back at this and we think, oh, you know, of course we know about Jesus. We're very familiar with Jesus because he was born 2,000 years ago. Imagine the people waiting for the Messiah. And one day, Jesus of Nazareth walks into the synagogue and reads the prophet, this prophecy written by Isaiah. And he says, these words speaking about the Messiah, I am he. I am the fulfillment of this prophecy. It had to blow the minds of the people. And that goes to show the power of God's word through Scripture, this Old Testament prophecy written before the birth of God by people who didn't, you know, these Old Testament scriptures, there's a lot of talk about the Messiah in them. And they didn't fully understand what the Holy Spirit was inspiring them to write necessarily. And we could tell that because so many people missed it when Jesus was born. They didn't recognize him as the Messiah. But still, God worked through these Old Testament writers and enabled them to give the people hope, the hope of the forthcoming Messiah. Kind of amazing how this worked. And this is why we're reminded of the power of sacred scripture. This is not just man's words. These are God's words, spoken or addressed, written, I guess I should say, by ordinary people who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. All right, let's look at the first reading now. It's from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, beginning in verse 2. Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which consisted of men, women, and those children old enough to understand. Standing at one end of the open place that was before the water gate, he read out of the book from daybreak till midday in the presence of the men, the women, and those children old enough to understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. He opened the scroll so that all the people might see it, for he was standing higher up than any of the people. And as he opened it, all the people rose. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people, their hands raised high, answered, Amen, Amen. And they bowed down and prostrated themselves before the Lord, their faces to the ground. Ezra read plainly from the book of the law of God, interpreting it, so that all could understand what was read. Then Nehemiah, that is His Excellency, and Ezra the priest, scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to all the people, Today is holy to the Lord your God. Do not be sad and do not weep. For the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. And he said further, Go, eat rich foods and drink sweet drinks, and allot portions to those who had nothing prepared. For today is holy to our Lord. Do not be saddened this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength. Here in this first reading, as well as in the gospel, we see the scriptures being read to the people. We see the scriptures being read to the people in the assembly. And this is no different than what you and I experience when we go to church. And we hear God's word proclaimed. And the people here, they're weeping. They're so excited because they're hearing God speak through sacred scripture. Now, for you and I, it can be challenging. That's one of the reasons I do this show. That's one of the reasons I try to write so much about sacred scripture, because it can be confusing to read the Bible. There's many parts of the Bible that are confusing to me as well. But I do believe, and I think that the church definitely backs me up on this, that you can, on some level, even if you're not a scripture scholar, I am in no way a scripture scholar, but we can all in some way benefit from listening to the word of God, to listening to the word of God as proclaimed through the scriptures. And there's a lot of good commentaries out there. There's also the idea that the more familiar we get with the Bible, the more we can understand. I was reading something earlier today that I had read several years ago. It didn't make any sense to me. Now it's making a little bit more sense. You know, gradually the Holy Spirit helps us. And of course, we have to do our part. I read a lot of commentaries on Scripture. I pray. I definitely read some Scripture every day. And it does get a little easier, but the Holy Spirit will work with us, but, you know, we got to do some of the work too. But God definitely speaks to us through the pages of the Bible. Let's look at the responsorial psalm, Psalm 19. Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. It's not just a book we're talking about. The Lord is speaking to us through the pages of Scripture. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The decree of the Lord is trustworthy, giving wisdom to the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The command of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eye. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true, all of them just. Let the words of my mouth and the thought of my heart find favor before you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. You know, there's a benefit. When we open up the Bible, this is not just a book we're reading. We're letting the Lord speak to us. And then again, there's that response. This is what I talked about at the beginning, that response to God's word. You know, whenever he speaks to us, he expects something in return. Now, today, as we focus on the word of God, and we see these examples of sacred scripture being proclaimed in the assembly, we're reminded that the Lord is speaking to us. Every time we go to Mass, he's speaking to us through scripture. What do we do about that? How do we respond to that message? Today, the message is scripture is important. I would think an appropriate response is great. I'm going to keep reading scripture. I'm going to try little by little. You know, if I'm not used to it, I can't take on too much. It's not like just opening the Bible and starting in Genesis and just plowing through it. That's hard. Maybe start with the daily Mass readings. If that's too much, maybe Sunday Mass readings and work backwards. You know, eventually try to build in the readings for some scripture every day. Or if the daily Mass readings are too much, just do the gospel. You know, that's important. The church tells us the gospel has a place of prominence among all the books of the Bible. So what a great thing that would be, to say from now on I'm going to read scripture. Or maybe find a book that has a Bible verse each day. I've got several of them that I've written. You know, I had the person in mind who's busy and who may be overwhelmed by too much scripture. You know, I read more now than I used to each day. But, you know, a few years ago, it was a struggle for me to read a lot of scripture each day. I had to get it in small doses because it was overwhelming. So the resources are out there. Just believe me that when you open the Bible, God is speaking to you. Let's look at the second reading. We'll read the longer form since I have some little time. It's not too bad. For St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 12 through 30. Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, as a body is one, though it has many parts, and all of the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one spirit. Now the body is not a single part, but many. If a foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it does not for this reason belong any less to the body. Or if an ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it does not for this reason belong any less to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God placed the parts, each one of them, in the body as he intended. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I do not need you,' nor again to the feet, to the head or the feet, 'I do not need you.' Indeed, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are all the more necessary. And those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we surround with greater honor. And our less presentable parts are treated with greater propriety, whereas our more presentable parts do not need this. But God has so constructed the body as to give greater honor to a part that is without it, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the parts may all have the same concern for one another. If one part suffers, all of the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts share its joy. Now you are Christ's body, and individually parts of it. Some people God has designated in the church to be first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then mighty deeds, then gifts of healing, assistance, administration, and varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work mighty deeds? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? This is a great reading, this second reading. And essentially what we're being told here by Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is as members of the church, you and I, we are parts of the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ, this mysterious body of Christ. So we, you and me, and all other members of the church, are called to carry on the work of Jesus in the world. We, as a whole, are Jesus. But you and I might not know what we're supposed to do. That's where Scripture is so important, where Scripture can instruct us and give us our instructions, give us an idea of what we're supposed to do. Here's how we're supposed to behave. Here's how we're supposed to act. And when you broaden it, as I said at the beginning of the show, and focus on the teachings of the church also as being the Word of God, you and I know what our role is, what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to behave, what we're supposed to say. And then we can all, as members of the one body, each with a different role. You don't have to be on the radio doing this show like I am. You have people around you. You can reach people. You have people in your house that might not want to hear what I have to say, but you can reach them. You have people at your workplace, at school, at church. As members of the body of Christ, you and I can continue the work of Jesus, right? Strengthened, guided by his word in sacred scripture and through the teachings of the church. And in a nutshell, that's what this Sunday is all about. Sunday of the Word of God, instructing us, guiding us to do his work in a world which very much needs him today. So I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you benefited from it. I hope you're going to go out there and share the good news in some way. And I hope you remember the importance of reading sacred scripture. All right, I'm going to run. Remember that I pray for you every day. Please pray for me if you would. Visit my website, followingthetruth.com, for more information. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye now.